This morning I get to talk about the Prince of Peace, and this has been an interesting preparation time for me because I don't have a ton of peace about certain things in my life right now. And so as I was preparing this message, if you are like me, you may have some missing peace. It's just a little bit here and there in little nooks and crannies of your heart and your mind and your relationships and your emotions and even your physical body. You're missing some peace. And as I prepared this message, I started to really experience God's touch on each of those areas in little minute ways, which was really encouraging to me. So I'm hoping this morning that I can also provide that encouragement to you as I share this message about the Prince of Peace. In this series, we've talked about Jesus's resume, which is, as you see those four titles, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. So this morning, I get the privilege of talking about Prince of Peace and what that means to each of us, what that means to you, and my hope and my prayer this morning has been that God's peace would come into your life and come into your heart anew as a result of what we're talking about today and the way that he speaks to you this morning. So to get us started, if you could please find Isaiah 9:6 in your Bible or in your phone or your tablet or whatever you're using. I'll give you some time to do that. And then go ahead and stand with me as we read Isaiah 9:6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen. Please be seated. One of my favorite words in that passage, or a couple of them, are forever and, what's the other one? No end. Forever and no end. The peace of God that we're going to talk about today is forever and there is no end to it. When we surrender to that peace and we accept it and allow it into our hearts and fully into our lives. And that is magnificent. And so I'm excited to share with you about that. But there was a time in my life where I had almost zero peace because I didn't have the Prince of Peace in my heart. And any peace that I had was artificial. It was made by me or made by circumstances, and so it wasn't real. And I want to share a little bit of my testimony with you this morning to give you the contrast between where I was then to where I am now, and then it's always an ongoing journey. When I was 15, I was stumbling around in my sin like probably many people that were teens in their lives, or unfortunately currently teens. Maybe you're stumbling as well, I hope not, but I was struggling, and for me, I knew this, and the message that was in my heart that God kept giving me was that I needed forgiveness. He made it very clear to me that I needed forgiveness, and so did the church that I was a part of, and the people that were encouraging me about my walk told me about God's forgiveness. They told me about his death on the cross and what that meant, and I was even singing worship songs with my friends, and it was beautiful. But my heart was still not in the right spot. I kept saying to myself, God, forgive me for my sins, forgive me for my sins, forgive me for my sins. And yet, there didn't seem to be forgiveness. In the midst of all this, I got invited to go on a missions trip to Mexico. And I wanted to go for a couple reasons. One, I thought it'd be cool to go to Mexico and travel there and experience that. I thought it'd be cool to go to Mexico with my girlfriend at the time. And then I also thought, well, maybe I could do something for God that matters. Right? And so my motives were mixed. Fortunately, my girlfriend could not go, so that worked out really well. And we ended up driving down to Ensenada. And on the way there, there's no adventures, there's nothing unique to happen. We got there safe and sound, no big deal. We went to this church. And I remember the church being kind of like a two-story church that had this rounded part to it. And we were supposed to paint the outside of the church. And I remember standing on a ladder up real high painting this church, and in retrospect, it probably wasn't very safe, and it probably wasn't the best place for me to be, but we were serving God, and we were doing things that helped that church. And we did various things over the course of time for this church in the roughly 5 days that we were there. Every night, though, we went and did worship time, where there was this band that had three or four members, and some of you might be familiar with the story, but There's three or four members in the band, and we were in a space that was probably about a third of the size of this room and just about as wide. What was interesting that I remember really clearly is, one, the band only played a few songs, so it was really easy to memorize the songs. Two, the floor was like a wrestling mat, at least part of the floor. It was blue and kind of soft, and this just stands out to me quite a bit. Every night, we do these songs. We did the same like 5 to 7 songs. I got them really memorized, and so I'm worshiping, I'm singing, doing my thing, and throughout each of the evenings, I'm praying, God, forgive me for my sins, forgive me for my sins, and yet still not experiencing or thinking that there was forgiveness, which was really confusing to me. Fast forward to the last night, and I'm saying, God, this is your last chance to save me. This is it. You got to save me tonight because we're not going to do another worship night, which is silly, of course. That's not how it works. But that Friday night, the band did something a little bit different. In the middle of the worship, they just stopped and asked everybody to be quiet and just listen to what God has to say to you. And so they continued playing, but they didn't sing. And people were very quiet, very still. And I saw a few people get down on their knees. And so I did the same thing. I got down on my knees. And I remember being on my knees looking at the blue mat and praying. So I'm down doing this, just praying, God, forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for my sins. And then someone 30, 45 seconds in goes, Jesus! Just yells it out with like beautiful passion in their heart and their mind. And in that moment, it was like everything clicked, and I realized that it was that I needed to accept the forgiveness. And then my heart wasn't ready. I wasn't willing to accept the forgiveness because I wanted to live in the sin. I wanted to continue to live in my sin, and I did not want to repent. But when that person boldly and bravely screamed out Jesus' name, I was in a position physically and mentally and emotionally and finally spiritually to surrender, and I did, and it was wonderful. And that's the greatest day of my life. And for everyone else, the day that they were saved is the greatest day of your life as well. And that was the moment that true peace, the Prince of Peace, came into my heart in all aspects of my life. And that is beautiful. And I'm so grateful for that. I was a broken man at that time, broken young man. At that time, I was on my knees. I was crying and just felt this complete shift in my heart. I still struggled and stumbled after that, but I had this wonderful fellowship around me of teenage friends and youth pastors that supported me, continued to pray for me, and continued to help me mature and grow. So this morning, I want to talk to you about what it is, what it means to know the Prince of Peace, who the Prince of Peace is, and how that peace can permeate every single cell of your body, every single aspect of your life. So first, let's talk a little bit about the terms. Let's talk about what the word prince means. When I looked this up, I was so excited to see what prince meant. To me, when I first thought of it, I was just thinking, you know, prince, the son of a king. And that's true, because Jesus is the son of the Father. He's the son of the king of the universe, of everything, which is beautiful, right? But it also means commander, chief, leader, or ruler. And it's an authority over a sphere, over something like military, religious, or governmental. And most importantly, ruler and leader over us, right? So Tsar, and I'm going to come back to this numerous times. And then peace, shalom, is safety, prosperity, well-being, contentment, and wholeness. So we can have fun with this. The Prince of Peace is the commander of our prosperity. The Prince of Peace is the ruler of our safety. The Prince of Peace is the leader of our contentment. The Prince of Peace is the commander of our wholeness, and so on and so forth. It's an active role that Jesus plays in our peace. It's not the one event that I had down on my knees in Ensenada, Mexico, that one day when I was 15 years old. It is continuous, and he is the one that is ruling. He is the one that is the leading and the chief in my heart, in my life, and same for you. So there's two types of peace I want to mention briefly here, and then we're going to get into really my favorite part of this message. So the peace with God is the war is over, right? Me asking God to forgive me for my sins, forgive me for my sins, was this war that I was having internally, not willing to surrender, not willing to fully and completely surrender and repent. But that war is over now when you surrender and give your life to God. And that equals reconciliation between your sinful self and a holy God. And it, of course, is secured by his death on the cross. We'll touch on Romans 5 later. Then peace of God. This is, so there's the peace with God, which is the one time. And then there is the peace of God, which is the daily, the continuous that I referred to. The Holy Spirit sustains the ongoing calmness and quietness in our daily lives. All right. So we are secured at the cross. Jesus justifies us. He forgives us and he reconciles us. And he does that in all areas, every aspect of our lives. He wants to give us peace in all parts of our lives. One of the things that I love to do with my clients is help them discover their quote, key life areas or their life contexts. And for some people, they've come up with like the five Fs, faith, finance, fitness, friendship, and fun, or something like that. And there's various ways that we can think about what are your life contexts, what are your life areas. For me, I have spiritual, wow, that was loud, spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, and relational. And so whatever your life areas are, just filter this message through those life areas. It all comes around to be, Jesus wants to be in every part of your life. So first, Jesus brings us spiritual peace. It begins, like I said before, with reconciliation. If you have surrendered yourself to Jesus, you've given your life to him, you've turned from your sins, you are no longer separated from God. Is that a good thing? Where's the amen, right? Amen. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the commander of your spiritual peace. He is the leader, the chief of your spiritual peace. He is the chief of your spiritual contentment. He is the leader of your spiritual well-being. He wants to play that role fully and completely in your life. And he starts spiritually. Then we have mental peace. The Prince of Peace wants to give us rest for our minds. This peace guards us from anxiety and worry. It is a security that surpasses all logic. When I work with my clients, I work rather deeply with them. We get into, sometimes into the traumas of their lives, into very rough circumstances, abuse, mental, emotional pains, grief, just some really heavy stuff. And with that comes worry, with that comes anxiety. But the Prince of Peace says that he wants to take that from you. And you read in scripture where it says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Jesus is the prince of your mental life as well. He is the one that wants to bring peace to that. And there is no anxiety. There is no worry with the Prince of Peace. Jesus has no part in that, and he wants to give you peace in place of that worry and that anxiety. And that is absolutely beautiful. Isaiah 26:3 says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Jesus wants us to keep our eyes, keep our focus on him. And when we do that, that mental peace, that worry and that anxiety fades away. Now, it's not always easy to do that. But when we put our mind on him, instead of the things that are in the future that we can't control, because that's what anxiety and worry is, trying to control the things that are in the future, and we focus on the now, we focus on him, our anxiety, our worry shifts. And it's given to him, and he takes it. Then we have emotional peace, calm in the storm. Peace isn't the absence of trouble, it's the presence of Jesus within the storm. I've been having emotional storms lately in my life with my frustrations with God and him just not answering some prayers that I feel like he should, but it's not up to me. And I've also been having some emotional storms with my youngest daughter, Lydia, and Carrie's very well aware, and some of the folks in the small group are as well. And if you have young kids, or if you've ever had young kids, you know that there is almost always an emotional storm occurring with the hard-headed kids. And I'm hard-headed, and so is Lydia. And that's okay, because God is teaching me how to have calm in the storm. And sometimes I don't, sometimes I screw this up, but when I am trusting him in those situations, literally praying, sometimes even down almost on my knees, trying to be face-to-face with her, I feel like I'm getting down on my knees and face-to-face with Jesus, and he's reminding me, that he is the one that is the leader of my emotional peace. He is the one that gives me wholeness in my emotions. He is the one that controls all of that and can give me peace fully and completely, regardless of how many times that little girl yells pretty awful things at me or does some silly things that would make anybody angry, no matter how much patience they have. But fortunately, in those moments when I lean into Jesus, I have the calm in the storm. And as you think about whatever is going on emotionally in your life, Jesus wants to be leading your life, giving you peace emotionally. Will you let him? Will you let him rule your mind, rule your emotions? Or are you going to try to control it like I do sometimes? And the storm does not subside, it only gets worse. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So is the trouble going to go away? Is the emotional turmoil or frustrations going to go away in your heart and your life? Nope, sorry, it's not. But like it says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus wants to be with you in the trouble, bring you peace in the trouble. We all know about the eye of the storm, right? We all know that in the middle of a hurricane is that calm. And sometimes our lives, sometimes our emotions feel like a hurricane, but if we go to the center where Jesus is, the peace is there and it will always be there. So Jesus wants to be the commander of your emotions. Are you allowing him to command your emotions? Or are you trying to take control of them? Then we have physical peace, strength and wholeness. We may face physical suffering. Jesus provides strength, hope, and the ultimate promise of restoration. He also commands us to rest. Last Friday, I went over to a friend's house and with a few other people and prayed with him. And he has something called cerebellum ataxia, which is essentially his body is attacking his cerebellum. And he went from climbing Mount Baker and being an extremely healthy hunter and wonderful father and husband and all those things to having to use a walker and be mostly in a wheelchair. And it was like a few weeks. And this was devastating to me. I'm not super close with him, but for whatever reason, God has laid such a burden on my heart for him. This is such a burden. And I've reached out to a number of you here to ask you to pray for him. And I wish I had this beautiful news of physical healing for his life, but I don't. And that's hard. And I asked him on Thursday, I think it was, you know, how he was doing. And he said, okay, I guess this is just how it is. Something to that effect. And that breaks my heart. And it doesn't mean he won't be healed physically now. But man, does that break my heart. But were the prayers meaningless? Were the prayers, did they go nowhere? Of course not. And I want to believe that as a result of our prayers, there is a new peace in his heart. There's a new level of peace going on for him. And I also want to believe and continue to believe that there will be physical restoration for him. But ultimately, we will be fully and completely restored when we get our new bodies and we get to be in heaven with our Savior. And that's a way better body than any of us have right now, that's for sure. Excited about that. As I face my own physical frustrations with my hands, and this is a very minor thing, but, you know, I want to invite God into that, into my life, and bring me peace. Even if there's no healing, just peace about the physical. So if you're dealing with something physical that is frustrating to you, or it hurts, or whatever is going on, just invite Jesus into it. Will he heal you? I hope so. He may not. But you can still have peace in the physical pain. The thing, though, that God really convicted me about as I was preparing for this on the physical part of things was he also commands us to rest. If we're going to have that spiritual, emotional, mental, physical peace, we really need to rest. We need to take a Sabbath. And that Sabbath often involves us being still in our bodies, holding still, being quiet in our bodies. I don't do that well. I'm sure if I asked folks to raise their hands about how well do they rest, there'd be a number of hands that come up. But Jesus wants to enter in and give us that physical peace, that peace in our physical rest. And that is going to catalyze all kinds of other peace in our lives because we can pay attention, we can be present with him. Mark 6:31 says, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while." I wish I had like that booming Darth Vader voice so I could say it, read it that way. Just this, I can just hear God asking me to go over here to this place, be by yourself, be with me and rest a while. Jesus wants to be with us. And sometimes we need to just step away, physically get away, so that we can experience his presence anew. So Jesus wants to be the leader of your physical peace. He wants to lead your body and the way you treat it. He wants to be in charge of that. And your well-being, your contentment will follow, because that's what Jesus has for you when you give him your whole body. So when we give Jesus our spirit, our mind, our emotions, our body, what do we get in return? We get this complete and utter peace that surpasses all understanding. And I think we've had that in glimpses in our lives, and I praise God for that. So lastly, we have relational peace. So those four areas really are focused on the individual. Now we're looking externally. Jesus wants to be the Prince of Peace in your relationships. Live in harmony. Jesus' peace helps us manage conflict and maintain unity in the body of believers. Romans 12:18 says, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." We all have various relationships, marriages, friendships, people we're getting to know, work relationships. Is Jesus the Prince of Peace in your relationships? Is he the commander, the chief, the ruler, the leader in your relationships? Or, like sometimes I do you try to take that control back? Because when he is the commander, the leader, the prince in your relationships, wholeness, contentment, well-being is what follows. But when we try to control our relationships and the way people respond to us or the way we respond to others, that peace isn't going to be complete. So what does it look like? What does it look like to have the Prince of Peace fully and completely in every aspect of your life? It looks like surrender. It looks like moment by moment recalling and remembering Jesus. It looks like little short prayers throughout the day. It looks like coming to church. It looks like worship. It looks like going to a small group. It looks like listening to what God would have you do. Surrendering to what Jesus is pulling you to. Even when it's hard, even when the storm is raging, even when your mind is racing, even when the anxiety is coming. Those are all signs. Those are all really cues for you to turn to the Prince of Peace. So when we are experiencing that distance, when we're experiencing that disruption, it's actually a great sign that says that Jesus is saying, "Hey, turn to me in this, and I will give you rest, I will give you peace." So I want to encourage you today, if surrendering to God every part of your life is something you want to do, I want to encourage you today to pray that prayer, to give yourself completely and fully over to God. And if you want to talk to somebody about that, you can talk to me afterward. And I just challenge you, if you already know the Prince of Peace, to allow him to come in more deeply into each of these areas of your life and to surrender even the littlest of circumstances, the littlest of situations to him. And let him be the commander, the chief, the leader, the ruler of your life, which will bring you that wholeness, that well-being, and that peace. Jesus loves you. And that love will bring you unbelievable joy, unbelievable peace. And in this season of Christmas, we're reminded that this little infant boy came into this world in an ugly space, in an ugly situation. Yet he brought the world peace, and he wants to bring your whole world, your whole life, that peace too. I'm going to say a prayer. It's a little funky up there, but it's a simple prayer. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. I'm going to read that part again. I want to encourage you to experience this verse. Allow God to penetrate your heart fully in what this prayer is asking for. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. Amen.